Good evening, folks. Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your host, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you on this date of June 1st, 2018. We are thrilled to be with you once again. You guys make this so enjoyable. Those of you that constantly stand by us and just listen to the program and share it with others and interact with us, thank you so much for always doing that. If you're new to the program, welcome. Thank you for coming on board. You know, if you don't know what Voice of Reason Radio is, if you stumbled on this and somehow downloaded it by accident, just to let you know, we're two brothers in Christ living about 2-3 time zones apart. We get together once a week, as often as possible anyway, and talk about things that are going on in our lives and in the world, and how we can look at it through a godly lens, through a biblical lens, and apply those things in our life. That's the whole point of Voice of Reason Radio. It's to go back to the true voice of reason, the Word of God. And that should be what we view everything through. That's how we determine what choices to make, what actions to take, and how we should think. It should always be filtered through the Word of God. So that's what the whole point of this program is. If you're here for the first time, again, welcome. We appreciate your being here. If you've never followed us, if you've never bothered to check into us, just to let you know, we do have a website. It is slavetotheking.com. You get occasional blog posts there. Our radio program, RSS feeds are there, both to iTunes and in whatever Android device that you choose. You can also stream the programs right from there. On our website, you can find the links to our social media pages for Voice of Reason Radio, both on Twitter and Facebook. And from there, you can contact us. You can either email us directly at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com, or you can hit the Contact Us link at that website. So to get all those introductory things out of the way, because 90% of the time, I forget to let you guys know it's there. Just wanted to put that out there and say thank you once again for joining with us. And Rich, how you doing, brother?
Well, I almost feel bad about the way I'm going to respond after that introduction. No. I actually was having a really good day today, up until one point.
Uh-oh.
My wife tagged me on Facebook in a video of a couple of snakes. It was a king snake eating a copperhead, and I don't know if our listeners know this or not, but I don't do snakes. I'm when it comes to snakes, I'm like Bart McCurdy is about spiders. I don't do snakes, and I grew up coming up, and I think I probably inherited this from my dad. But in his words, the only good snake is a dead snake.
Amen.
But just to let the listeners know, this may be my last podcast for a while.
Uh-oh.
Because when my wife tagged me in this, I responded and told her that she should consider us divorced for the rest of the day. Tagging me in this video. So, at some point, I'm expecting to receive a concussion from the backside of a frying pan. So, depending on how long it takes me to recover from that, I may or may not be back next week.
Oh, my word, Rich, you didn't. Oh, dude, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, and even I know better than that.
you have to understand my wife. She, you know, we've been married almost 25 years. She's used to my warped sense of humor, and actually she did see my comment, and she actually did the little laughing emoticon response, but she was gone. Her and my daughter were gone at the time, and when she got home, the first thing she did, she walked in, put her hands on her hip, gave me that look, and said, "So, of course, huh?" And I just kind of giggled.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you have someone that like can test your food before she feeds you, because maybe give it to the dog just to make sure it's edible.
Oh, my life is even more dangerous than that, because you know, those that are familiar with the show and with us know that I'm in a wheelchair, so I'd literally depend on her for about 80% of the things in my life, just, you know, going back and forth to the doctor, my medications, just all kinds of stuff. So if she wants to do me in, it's pretty readily available without having to resort to slipping it into my food.
Oh, Rich brother, I love you. I love you, and it's been really enjoyable working with you for the last few years. So, if you don't survive next week, just want to let you know how much I love and appreciate you, brother. Oh man.
Well, I have to say that was one of those moments. It just kind of spurted out, and it kind of goes back to a long running joke between her and I, because one night she went to one of the dinners at Sunday night dinners at church, and one of the ladies that I just love dearly there made from what I understand was like the most awesome pecan pie in history, and no one brought me a piece. And I told her in the South that was grounds for divorce. So now as a joke, you know, there's a couple of times that, you know, something like that's been referenced, and I was nice. I told her, in the response, I just said we're divorced for the rest of the day. So
just so you know, it's not like the Old Testament Jewish law where you could just write a certificate, brother. It doesn't quite work that way. I don't know if that's what you had in mind, but it doesn't work that way anymore. So,
well, for anyone completely confused, my wife does have that great of a sense of humor, especially when it comes to me, because to live with me for that long, she pretty much would have to have had that kind of sense of humor. And we have a great marriage. We still hold hands. A lot of times people think we're newlyweds, and she is actually my very, very best friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm extremely blessed to have her as my wife and my friend and my helpmate and everything else. But, you know, those that know us well understands and gets our warped sense of humor.
Well, I will say this much. While I would not defend the comment, Suzanne, I'm not defending the comment. Okay, because I don't want to die either. I can understand the distaste for the snakes. In my dad said something years ago, and I firmly have adopted this. If it creeps, crawls, or slithers, it's going to die. So if you send something my direction that moves and it has no legs, don't count on it living, because I'm going to kill it. Don't bring it near me. if it's got the creepy crawlies, if it's got more than a couple legs, I don't want to deal with it. You just get it away from me. So, yeah, well, I am not a critter fan. Don't like those varmints, and don't like those bugs, and don't like them snakes, man. Get them away.
Yeah, I'm not very fond of them either. I've had, growing up in the South and in the woods and umpteen times out hunting and fishing, I've had way too many close calls with poisonous snakes and non-poisonous snakes. And, you know, it's just to the point now to where I don't want to see one. I don't even want to see a picture of one. And if one's on something on television, even in a movie, I will turn it. I will close my eyes. I don't want to even think about them. Granted, yes, I know they are one of God's created creatures, but it's not one of my more favorite created creatures.
I'm still trying to figure out the purpose of things like mosquitoes and ticks. I know prior to the fall, there was a perfectly good design for them. Now they're disease carrying bloodsuckers. So that one's, I'm looking forward to getting an explanation for.
They do provide, they are a food source for some other type of living creature. I know, like, mosquito larvae, you know, they hatch and lay their eggs in water, and fish will eat them, you know, birds eat the mosquitoes, bats eat the mosquitoes, and until recently, I didn't realize, but the number one predator for ticks is possums.
That's a new one. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
And well, clearly we need to breed more possums.
Especially this summer. I mean, this is June the 1st, and right now in central Mississippi, it feels and looks like mid-July.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. It was kind of funny. I mean, we live in the desert, so heat just is hot. Now, we don't have that humidity thing that y'all got to deal with. But heat is just hot, and if you don't have a nice breeze or anything going, it'll feel so much hotter. It got to about 77 according to the thermometer in our car today, and it was just like, I feel like I'm roasting in here. So I mean, yeah, it's we're getting ready to hit that hot season, and you guys are getting it really early. And so, you know, I'm grateful we've got a lot of water right now, because it, you know, in the desert, that, you know, that means bad news when things like wildfires break out. So I'm grateful God was gracious to us, and we had, like they said, the third wettest spring on record so far. So, you know, it'll be nice, but yeah, the mosquitoes will be out and all the other critters, and yay.
Well, I think today we hit like 91, 92 in a couple of areas close to me. Their heat index hit like 103 because of the humidity. The dew point's up like 72%, and I think some of this is probably still left over from that tropical storm depression that decided it was going to engulf the entire state of Alabama this week. But yeah, it's we've already set two or three record highs already, and like I said, we're just in June, and the Mississippi State Health Department has already issued warnings about mosquitoes and ticks for the summer season that they've already, up until this point, I guess, however they take their surveys, they're finding more ticks and mosquitoes for this time of the year, I think, more so than they ever have in the past.
y'all can keep your mutant bugs in your humidity. I'll deal with the desert heat.
So, you know, feel welcome. Come on down to the south and enjoy you a summer vacation.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, I'm kind of happy up here. All right. We need to get started. We need to do a show here, brother.
I know. Prior to starting the show, I have to say this.
Here it comes.
I'm throwing my rebuttal out that I tweeted about the other day.
Okay.
I have got to rebuke Theology Driven about something that they said.
Oh, what did they do?
And for those guys, I have been listening to some of your shows, and I just have a question for you. Why are you so racist and so anti-redneck, anti-hillbilly? Now, on behalf of redneck hillbillies all through the South, what is it with you guys? I mean, I have actually heard a couple of you use the word y'all, but it seems like, and I don't know if this is just a Virginia thing or what it is, but man, you guys are really, really anti-redneck.
All right, boys, you're going to have to explain this one. You know, James, Scott, Kevin, Mr. Anonymous. You're going to have to explain my redneck brother here why you so bigoted against him. The ball is now in your court, gentlemen. You better explain yourselves.
Well, I will say this. Unlike the culture we live in today, I do have a thick skin, and I laugh about it. And I laugh at people, you know, not laugh at them, but laugh with them. And I appreciate good hillbilly redneck jokes because, you know, being from Mississippi, I'm automatically labeled either a hillbilly or a redneck. So it doesn't really bother me. Unlike the culture that we live in today, whose skin is so thin that a paper cut would sever a major artery.
You ain't kidding, brother. My word, we've gotten terrible. Yeah, the kerfuffle that exploded this week on the internet is insane.
I do like that segue.
You know what? You got segues. You got the Theology Driven guys segues down, beat down pat, man. They can't segue their way out of a paper bag. Sir, yours are excellent. So, oh, man, we're starting a war.
I'm good at one thing when it comes to the radio show.
Oh, we've just started a podcast war. Here we go. So, yes, no, excellent segue, because that is the point, because of especially what we saw happen this week. Now, lest anyone think we're going to be taking a side of a particular comedian, a television program, no, we're not, actually.
We're going to be making fun of everybody.
Yeah. Some of you are going to get, you know, I hope you have your steel-toed boots on, because you're probably not going to like with some of the things I have to say anyway tonight, and I'm not meaning to be mean to him, Rich, but I just kind of shook my head when I saw some of the commentary coming out. Now, if anybody doesn't know, well, you must live under a rock, or you don't have Twitter or something. But I never understood the reason why anybody was excited the show was coming back, because I personally never was that big of a fan of it back in the day. But the television program Roseanne had, you know, relaunched this last season, brought everybody back from the original TV series, including Roseanne Barr, John Goodman, and all of those folks. And everybody was excited. The show was very popular in the 90s. I get it. I watched some of it. It was not... I think the one character out of the entire show that I liked was John Goodman. I particularly liked him as an actor. But Roseanne Barr, I've never really had any respect for. She's vile. She's crass. I've heard her say and do some of the most terrible things. I remember when she caught so much grief just because she was crass for singing the national anthem at a baseball game and grabbing her crotch and spitting like she was a baseball player and just showing no respect for the anthem. And so what amazes me is that anybody was shocked or surprised that Roseanne Barr tweeted out a very crass comment about a former Obama staffer. I think it was Valerie Jarrett, if I recall. And Rich, you and I were talking about pre-show. She basically made a comment about her as if the one of the characters from Planet of the Apes and the Muslim Brotherhood had a child, and compared that to Valerie Jarrett, which, again, as you said, in our thin-skinned society that you could actually see the pulsing veins running underneath anymore, that was reason to scream racist, and before the ink was even dry, ABC had fired her over this tweet. That's how insane we have become. I don't think the day was done, but before the tweet was, by the time the tweet had gone out, that they had already decided to fire her.
I think it was just a matter of a few hours before Roseanne was posting apologies and said something to the effect that she was leaving Twitter forever. But to just clarify the Planet of the Apes photo, I actually finally found, it seems like it got deleted all over the place, but I finally found a copy of the original post and the original picture, and it was a photo from the female ape in the original Planet of the Apes.
Movie,
the one, I still think they did a really great job, especially considering it was made like in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic movie. But yeah, let's just address that part first. A vile, crass, so-called comedian, or however you say it these days, is brought back to a television program. She's made a career since the show ended of just being crass. I mean, somebody shared an actual photo shoot of her with a Hitler mustache, wearing like a Nazi armband, with burnt gingerbread cookies in her hand. I mean, folks, she is crass. She has no tact, none. Okay, so
let me ask you this, because I'm not familiar with anything other than the couple of things you mentioned and a very very vague memory of watching a couple of the original Roseanne television shows. Is she one of these female comedians that is just extremely vulgar that would make many a sailor blush the stuff that comes out of her mouth?
I think she's probably maybe a little less offensive than, say, Sandra Bernhardt or something, but she's never been the cleanest comedian out there. And she's just very crass. And I still remember, it was several years ago now, where Todd Friel of Wretched Radio had been playing... It was one of those, it was something akin to American Idol, but for comedians. Roseanne Barr was one of the judges, as was Norm Macdonald, I think is who it was. And this guy comes on, and he's homosexual, and part of his routine is attacking Christianity. Roseanne Barr applauded him for being just this brave individual to do something like that.
What's her name, Sandra what?
Bernhardt, I think, is the other one.
Wasn't she on the original Roseanne television show?
She made some appearances on that program. She's a vile one, too. But anyway...
Isn't she a lesbian?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to set the tone correctly here and feedback that some of our listeners may not be aware of.
But, I mean, Norm Macdonald actually took the guy to task and said, I don't think you were brave at all. I think if you're going to attack a major religion, you ought to know something about it, indicating what this guy represented wasn't even accurate about the Christian faith. Roseanne Barr was like, what? She couldn't believe Norm was saying this. Norm took him to task. I mean, just knocked him down. And she had been standing there, sitting there saying how brave he was. So this is not a person who really is a moral or upstanding individual. This is not a person who is truly a conservative, who is a biblical, believes in Christianity or the Bible. She's just a crass individual. And what a big surprise. She shoots her mouth off and makes a crass comment about someone from the former presidential administration. Is it any surprise that this was done? Of course not. That's who she is. We should not be, shocked that ABC fired her in this day and age, considering that. But the thing, so that's the backdrop. What surprised me, Rich, was the number of conservatives and even Christians who essentially jumped to Roseanne's defense on the basis of, well, all these other shows, they have actors, all these news programs, they have people that say bad things. How dare you be so hypocritical? And I thought, I just scratched my head because, Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, but for Christians, this really shouldn't be a surprise that the entertainment industry, mainstream media machine, we should not be surprised that they are hypocritical, because the last I checked, they are a godless industry. So should consistency be something we should expect from them?
Well, of course not. And first thing, I don't know, I've never read, seen, or heard where Roseanne has ever professed to be a Christian. Mm-mm. That should be your first thought, is this person a Christian? And the next thing is, should a Christian be jumping on the bandwagon to defend a person such as what you described, that, she may be a pro-conservative or pro-Trump, but does your views of Trump and conservative politics, does that overshadow your should-be devotion to the Bible and biblical truth? But kind of want to throw something in the mix before we get too much further about what Roseanne said, because I've wondered the kickback she got. I'm still wondering, was it because she dared to say anything negative about the Muslim Brotherhood, or was it because she dared to say anything negative about a former Obama staffer, or was it truly racially motivated? I mean, to me, the flack that she's caught could be over any one of those. But my next question is for our non-Christian listeners that may happen upon this radio show. If you believe and adhere to the theory of evolution, you have absolutely no right to be offended by any racial comment. Because if the theory of human evolution is accurate, and we actually did descend from apes, what would be wrong in pointing out that someone actually looked like an ape if that is actually our ancestors? You truly want to get rid of racism, I think you first should start with getting rid of the theory of evolution being taught in public schools.
Oh, absolutely. The reason we should not treat people with disrespect and dishonor and such things, and with we shouldn't be showing hatred towards them, has nothing to do with the inherent worth of man, because we have no inherent worth of our own. Of our own accord, we're sinful, wrath-filled rebels that deserve the fires of hell. What makes it the reason we shouldn't do those things is we are created in the image and likeness of God. That's why you treat someone with respect. That's why you speak kindly. That's why you, if you bring correction, you do so in love. You don't do those things because to do so would be to take a fellow image bearer, that person created in God's image and likeness, just as you are, and you would drag that person through the mud. That person was created by God. That person has worth because God has created them with worth. And for to do otherwise is to bring a further sin against our Creator. That's why we show people love. That's why we show people respect. The, you know, those who believe in evolution don't have a justification, and you're right. It's inconsistent thinking to say that you have to be able to espouse the idea that we came, from the goo to you via the zoo. You know, you can't say that there's inherent worth in human life, and you can't praise distinctions and all these things if you believe that really, when it boils down to it, there's nothing different between us and a dung beetle. You know, so that's an inconsistent view. But to get back to what we're talking about, pardon me, I got a little bit of hooky stuff going on here. It's probably all, believe it or not, in the desert we actually get some pollen, so I think that's what's been going on with me lately. Excuse me, take a swig there. Anyway, the issue at hand is you had someone who was disrespectful, and she's on a television program that one of the reasons it was very popular is that they brought in the unpopular view right now, at least in the Hollywood jet set. They made the characters supportive of the current Trump administration. So it resonated with the base that supports our current presidential administration. In the same way that, Tim the Toolman Taylor, but that's wrong.
Tim Allen,
thank you. His show Last Man Standing, when he got canned, and everybody knows that he got canned because his show had conservative leanings, and he was willing to make statements against the left, the left-leaning machine in Hollywood. They know that's why the program didn't get renewed, but Fox has picked it up, from what I'm hearing. That show resonated with the conservative base, so I'm sure ABC was like, we really don't want to bring Roseanne back because we really don't like this idea, but we know it's a cash cow, so we'll do it. And they were just waiting, in my opinion, they were just waiting for Roseanne to mess up. They were waiting for Roseanne Barr to shoot her mouth off, because she does. And then now they could cancel it. They got their money. They got the sponsors on board. They looked good to whoever they were. And then they can blame Roseanne Barr for all of this. So now they can, they can say they won't get in trouble like they did with Tim Allen. Because it was clear that Tim Allen was fired because of his political leanings. Even though the network tried to claim that wasn't the case.
Although I do have a question about that. And it's interesting, that show got canceled after the election and after Trump had been elected president. I never understood the timing on the cancellation of that show.
I think a lot of it had to do with him. About the time that that show was shut down, he had been interviewed a number of times, and he talked about that basically in Hollywood, it's kind of like, you have to live in secret if you're a conservative. That it's kind of like the Gestapo's out there to find you and root you out and blacklist you. And he was making that known. And so his willingness to go out there and say that, and then after those interviews started airing, lo and behold, Last Man Standing gets canceled. So when you're looking at Roseanne Barr, I think ABC loved the fact that she shot her mouth off and said something controversial, so they could fully blame her shooting her mouth off to cancel the show, so they would not incur the storm that happened when Last Man Standing was canceled. So they were looking for a reason. Now,
I was just going to say, because they're jumping out and firing her and canceling that show happened so fast.
Oh, goodness,
I have to agree with you that there was a plan already in a blue folder on somebody's desk with a red cancellation stamp, and they had it sitting ready and waiting to throw out there the first opportunity they had.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt in my mind, and that's the sad part about it, is that so much of this is obvious. You know, this is how Hollywood works. This is how the media machine works. So you had a crass, vile individual who said something crass and vile, and whether she was racist or not, I don't know. I don't know if that was intended to be a racially charged comment. Some people insist, oh, because you called her an ape, you're referring to her fact that she's a black person. I don't know. I simply don't know, because I'm not in Roseanne Barr's head. But what she said was just absolutely inexcusable. It was rude. It was tasteless. No tact. So she shot her mouth off. and she got canned for it. If one of us did something that stupid at work, we could get fired too. That's what happens. What bothered me, Rich, is that following this, it was the response of people. I've even seen people post, "I stand with Roseanne," and all I can keep thinking for the life of me is why. Why would you stand with somebody as a Christian? Why would you stand in solidarity with somebody who really opposes everything that we believe in? You know, we believe in the value and the sanctity of human life. We believe in being respectful and kind and loving because a person's created imago Dei. That's what we're supposed to believe. Why would you stand with that? And then why would you then turn and expect that Hollywood or the media industry or any of that would have anything that is representative of consistency when it's clear this is a godless industry? And that's what bothers me, Rich, is that it seems to me there's so much emphasis within the Christian community, professing Christian community. Now, mind you, we say professing Christian community because we understand that not everyone who names Christ is actually a Christian. We say professing because there are people out there who claim to be Christians, and yet their lifestyle, their manner of living, the way they talk and act is not line up with Scripture. And so if you don't have the marks, if you don't have the fruit, if you have the works of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't matter how much you profess it if you don't actually possess salvation. So we make that distinction. If you're not familiar with why we say it, that's why we say it. The professing Christian community, we see this a lot, Rich. We see online how many Christians constantly lambast CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, all these guys, and talk about how inconsistent they are, how they're intolerant. And I keep thinking to myself, do we really expect a godless industry to be anything but inconsistent? Does that make sense to you? I mean, does it seem to you like we're seeing that from within the Christian community?
Oh, yeah. During the course of this week, I never set out to look for entertainment news. It just shows up in my Twitter feed from people that we know, from other things that's been retweeted. But, that's how I saw and heard or learned about the whole Roseanne Barr thing. And then a day or two later, there's just a tidal wave of outrage by, professing Christians, stating and pointing out what you just said about the inconsistencies within the media, that, she said this, but, they allow Bill Maher to stay on air. They allow this person to stay on air. They go through pointing out the very vile things that these other people have said, but yet they haven't been fired. You shouldn't have fired Roseanne for saying something or making such a stupid joke, but yet you allow these others to remain on air. Well, just like you said, why should we expect any type of consistency from the world when the world loves itself? And especially when it comes to things such as media, they do have a particular agenda that they are pushing, that they're standing behind, that they want to see promoted. Of course there's going to be inconsistencies in the things that they do and say, because otherwise they would be losing the supporters that they have within that Gestapo camp that Tim Allen was talking about.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. The concern that I have, Rich, when I see this unfold, and you said it yourself, all we have to do is sit. We don't even have to interact. If you just sit and stare at Twitter for 5 minutes, something like this is going to pop up, kind of the nature of social media. What I am concerned about when I see it is that it seems like we as Christians want some sort of imposition upon the media industry or upon private industry or upon the news industry. We want to impose upon them our view of morality, and we want them to act in that fashion. Now, Rich, I understand that, and I've heard this argument from folks before, don't we want people to not act sinfully? Yes, we do want people to not act sinfully. But when you impose a standard and say, you have to be this or you have to be that. You're not achieving righteousness in anybody's heart, in any industry's heart. You're simply putting the law upon them and say, act according to the law, even though you don't want them to, you know, even though they don't want to. In my opinion, what that's doing is saying, I want you to appease me because I'm a Christian. I want to obey the law of God. You guys want to reject the law of God. That bothers me. So act like you're a Christian, even if you're not. And when we are screaming hypocrites and, you know, how inconsistent and how intolerant, we're barking at them. It's like, I'm so consumed with, I want this industry to act in a manner that I want it to act. I can't help but think, what am I more concerned with? Am I more concerned with the hearts of those people who are acting so sinfully, so rebelliously, and that I want them to repent and put their faith in Christ? Or am I concerned that I so want my entertainment industry back to reflect what I want, and I want my entertainment, so you have to act in accordance with the way I want? Rich, I fear it's the latter, that we are so concerned with entertainment that we want the entertainment industry to do it our way.
Well, it's almost like, and I can't say that this is the heart of anyone because I don't know what's in people's hearts, but based on what you just said, and for the record, I do agree with you, it's almost like we want you to act like you're a Christian, but we really don't care whether you're saved or not, as long as you feed me and entertain me in a manner that makes me comfortable.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. Now, again, you're right. We can't impose a motivation upon people that we don't know. And there may well be some folks that listen to this, and what they're genuinely concerned about when they see something like this is, my word, that the people of that industry are so rebellious that they had a plan to fire someone just to get rid of anything that smelled of conservatism. And maybe they're bowing the knee in prayer. So we hope that's the case. Really do. But when I see people going off and making comments and talking about boycotts and talking about, you know, how dare you do this when you're allowing that, I start to think, I don't think the motivation is evident that you're concerned for their souls. I think the motivation is, how dare you take away something from me that I want to reflect what I want? And it makes me wonder, where is our motivation lie? And I'm not one who believes in boycotts because, again, that's me imposing on an entity to do things my way, or I will punish you without giving you any kind of money. I don't think that's the right way to handle it. You know, other Christians are going to believe differently. I understand that, but I just don't believe that is representative of the Word of God. But when you're talking about hypocrisy, not in the sense of this is what you've done here, evidences the hardness of your heart because you're so desperate to get rid of this and yet you'll allow that, that shows you how much you need Christ. If that's not what you're voicing, but what you're voicing is, how dare you get rid of this television program just because it was pro-Trump, I think it reveals something about our motivation. And that motivation is, I want my entertainment. And Rich, if that's what we're concerned about, I think we are off track. We've fallen into a ditch, and we are now trapped and mired in, as we've talked about many times in the show, a political system, because this boils down to politics. 90% of what I saw when people were talking about the making tweets and posts about the hypocrisy of ABC was pointing out the political statements of other individuals, news reporters, actors, actresses, you know, talk show hosts, how vile their tweets were, and yet those people still have a job. And they were usually anti-Trump tweets, anti-conservative tweets, stuff like that. So I think what we're seeing is we want this entertainment industry to reflect what we like, and we will jump into the political camp to attack the industry more than we are concerned about the hearts of those who are evidencing that sinful hypocrisy. Does that maybe encapsulate it a little bit better?
Yeah, and within, sadly, within American evangelicalism today, there's two golden calves, one being entertainment, the other being politics. Mm-hmm. And you see it every single day. And if entertainment was not such a primary driven desire of so many within American evangelicalism, you would not see so much worldly entertainment trying to be brought into the church, because that's another sad state of affairs in this country, is that even among professing Christians, their desire to be entertained is so great that it far, far overshadows any desire that they may remotely have when it comes to true worship of Christ and truly being concerned about the souls of those around us that are very, very evident that they are not saved, that they are bound for hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I, again, that goes back to, where is my heart? Where what is my heart motivation? What am I put my heart, my mind, and my eyes, and my soul? Where am I putting all that? You know, it's funny. When I was talking with my wife about this earlier today, one of the verses that came to mind was, pardon me, was Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul exhorts the Philippians to be thinking about things that are noble and true, lovely, pure. And I can't help but think, when we rally behind someone like a Roseanne Barr, who is none of those things, because we are consumed with our frustration with the media industry, the entertainment industry, not meeting our standards. Rich, I can't help but think, I don't think that's where our minds are. I think we're so consumed with wanting entertainment to be entertainment that we aren't thinking on these things. We're thinking about, I want to be entertained. And how dare you take this away from me? And I'll jump behind something that does not evidence any of the things the Philippians were told to think on.
Yeah, it can be confusing, especially today. And this is a good example. You know, is it the politics that are getting so many Christians riled up, or is it the entertainment or lack thereof that's getting people so riled up, or is it kind of a mixture? Because, you know, this, you know, you can look at this issue from two different sides, it being a political issue and it being an entertainment issue. But, you know, like I said, in what I see, both of those subjects are the golden calves of American evangelicalism, because, you know, so many people were so fast to jump on the Trump bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And I think some of it may come out of frustration and aggravation over the last 8 years and things that Obama did and put out that was so blatantly anti-Christian. I don't know. I think people are so desperate for hope, but they're putting their hope in the wrong direction. And hope is only as valid as the object of that hope. And unless your hope is in Christ, your hope is in a very, very vain movement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with you, Rich. I think 8 years under the Obama administration, where the shackles, if you want to call them that, I'm sure that's how those who are unregenerate and fall under these things that Obama did, they see the restraints of a godly system as, they see them as shackles. And so when those shackles were thrown off, so to speak, and really all it was doing was enslaving them more to sin, it was just additional shackles being put on them. When they saw that being cast off in their eyes, there was such freedom to them to pursue their sinful lusts that it was crazy. I never in my wildest dreams would thought in such a short period of time our nation could spin 180 degrees in the wrong direction. And it absolutely has. The compass has gone crazy. And so, Rich, I agree with you. As Christians and as political conservatives, we recoiled in horror, because I think we lived in a fantasy world where we thought, because we'd had these conservative principles, that we were therefore a, quote, godly nation. And what was happening is, underneath the surface, it was a powder keg ready to blow. And all Obama did was light the match. So we think Obama's the fault for all this, but all Obama did was make pull back the curtain and show that the wizard was not a wizard at all. You know, he revealed the truth of what was going on in the heart of this nation. And all he did was peel back the curtain because it was already happening. We put a thin veneer over the top of it and made believe that we were a godly nation. And so we saw and we recoiled in horror, and I think that's why, you're right, I think that's why we're reacting the way we are.
Well, that veneer was not something that that was applied recently. That veneer has been covering this nation for decades.
Absolutely.
I mean, it has, to me, studying portions of history, whatever transpired, it seems like you can trace the off the rails of this country somewhere around the mid-40s, and I can't remember what pastor spoke on it, but they were talking about how America changed after World War II, mm-hmm. and things began to go off the rails. And if you think about it and look back in history, I know that there was a lot of ungodliness going on within this country prior mm-hmm. to the 40s, but it seemed like it just went mega viral after that period. And even, you know, up into the 50s and 60s, then the church within America, or the professing church within America, it didn't even go off the rails. It fell off the track and ended up in some strange tunnel 40 miles away. If not, if you don't believe that, just do a little looking around, and you know, it's not hard to see examples of that, such as Jesse Duplantis wanting $54 million for another jet.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
That you know, God told him that he should have it.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Well, and I think so much of that is, you know, post-40s, we became a producing nation, and we broke out of our isolationist shell, and we began engaging with the rest of the world, and we became very prosperous. And I think a lot of that prosperity, that post-World War II growth going into the 50s, I think is what we looked at. I think every conservative who thinks if we just elect the right person into office, we're going to somehow magically go back to the 1950s. The 1950s was no more or no less sinful than 2018. It's just in 2018, there's more freedom to express your sinfulness. That's the problem.
Well, I think, honestly, if people were honest, I mean, dead set honest, they honestly don't care what type of sins other people commit, as long as it's kept behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They don't have to see it, hear about it, or think about it. They're perfectly fine. And that's the problem. If people woke up and realized what's going on, truly, truly realize what's going on, there would not be so many of us having to beg and plead professing Christians to be out sharing the gospel.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And that goes back to our current situation. We've got a lot of people who are conservatives, many of them professing Christians, who jump on these bandwagons, who want to scream hypocrisy, who want to scream boycott, who want to scream, you know, restore the entertainment industry, or restore the news media, or restore the private industry, such as, you know, restaurants and stores, to what we want. And I can't, again, it goes back to, where are our minds set? Colossians 3:2 says that set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We are not to be so consumed with the things of this world that we're looking at worldly solutions on how to make it go back to what we want. We're to set our mind on things above. We have an everlasting kingdom that is yet to come. We will spend eternity with Christ. So things like the loss of a television program, or a coffee chain like Starbucks, who, you know, goes crazy with diversity training or whatever, you know, that's another one that just blew my mind. My wife read to me about, you know, when Starbucks had its diversity training, and this was a thread on Facebook. She was reading to me how people were talking about, oh, Starbucks now lets everybody come in and you don't have to spend any money, and they're going to be tolerant of anyone. Well, these were professing Christians who said, well, then how about we go in and sit down and we'll do a Bible study. We won't buy any coffee. We'll just take up space. We'll do it. And then, you know, and then we'll leave. And I thought, how on earth is that godly behavior? First off, I've been in, you know, in my local Starbucks, I've seen people in there plenty of times with Bibles open. Guess what? They don't get kicked out. They don't get yelled at. They don't get mocked. Okay. Now, maybe that happens in other places, but I know, Rich, you and I both know Tony Miano will sit there with a computer that says sit and talk with a cross on it while he's writing his blogs and stuff in a Starbucks. And he's, guess what? He bought his drink. So, yes, Starbucks CEOs and some isolated incidents of Starbucks employees have been disrespectful to Christians and political conservatives. But sometimes, like the geniuses who walked into Starbucks with their AR-15 strapped to their backs so they could pose with selfies and say, look at us, we're in here with our guns and they can't do anything about it. Sometimes it's because of antagonism from people who do stupid things like that. And Rich, I can't help but think, how is that setting our mind on things above when we're doing a supposed Bible study when really what we're doing is rubbing Starbucks' nose in their own mess? I don't see that as being godly.
Yeah, that's really in the flesh and very spiteful. And if you're in an area that actually has a Starbucks and it's one that people go to and hang out at and sit around, drink coffee, and perhaps you and a few friends are going to go to your Starbucks to have a Bible study. Perhaps that's a central meeting point or whatever. But if you're going in there to have a Bible study, you need to be going in first because you truly want to worship and share with your brothers and sisters about Christ. But also, if you're going in there to conduct a Bible study, you need to purchase merchandise, whether it's coffee or snacks. But more importantly than that, when you leave, they need to think, wow, those are some really great tippers. Because I have a son that's in the restaurant industry, and he serves and waits tables, and I know that we have friends that are either currently working in that industry or have worked, and one thing that I hear constantly is that Christians are the worst, absolute worst tippers.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. I don't know why we are. I think maybe because, you know, we tend to be a bit more fiscally conservative by and large. But that should not excuse poor behavior on the part of a Christian about not providing for the needs of someone who's in that industry. But you're right, Rich. I mean, if we're going into that, if we've set our minds on things above, if we are not responding in a manner that the world responds, then going in and doing a Bible study should be exactly that. To be going in to learn from the Word of God and to glorify Him because His Word has impacted our hearts and it is reflected by how we treat other people. So if we go in to occupy space and do nothing for that industry that is whose space we're taking, in other words, we're not paying for anything, then we are not in any way acting godly. We are being spiteful, as you said, spiteful, and we are being mean, and we are acting just like the people that we're trying to be spiteful to. Rich, that's just not thinking above.
I would really, really, really love to have a conversation with one of those individuals or that entire group that went in there and did that, because the first thing I would ask them would be to share the gospel with me. And depending on what part of the country they're from, but I know what the response would be, generally the response where I live. The response would be, I live in such a way, let the light shine in me that people come to me and ask me about Christ. Well, guess what? Acting like that, do you really think that you're reflecting any type of light of Christ by acting in such a spiteful way?
Exactly. And let's just take it into, most of these conversations will oftentimes just be blowing off steam on the internet. So let's just assume that particular thread was exactly that. Well, guess what? You have a lot of people that just saw that public thread and what you were saying about wanting to do about a Bible study in Starbucks. How does that reflect to the people who are non-Christians that are your friends and they see that? Even if you're blowing off steam, does that reflect that you your mind is set on things above? Rich and I would both argue absolutely not, because what it reflects is you are thinking in a worldly manner. I want to stick them in the eye. I want to make them be tolerant of me for once. And Rich, you and I both agree, it's frustrating to live in our current society. This pluralistic, everything is hunky-dory, rose-colored glasses, except for Christianity. You guys are wicked and we're going to treat you badly. Yes, that's frustrating. But we are to pray for those who would persecute us, even on a minor level, like being disrespectful.
Oh, and I'll have to add to that. If you're a white male Christian, you're open game and an open target for anything or anyone.
Yeah, you're basically the root of all evil if you're a white male conservative Christian. So that's a white male European conservative Christian. That is basically Satan. So we get it. It's frustrating. It drives you insane. But Jesus says that if we are persecuted, then we are blessed because we are persecuted for Christ's sake. So ought we then act in a worldly manner and turn the tables on our persecutors? I don't think so. I think that when we endure, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Rich, that is us stepping up and acting in a godly manner so that everyone sees that despite how we are treated, how we are viewed, how we are spoken to, despite any level of persecution, either minor or major, that it speaks volumes of the God that we serve. If we set our mind on things above and we don't respond the way the world responds, and we respond with kindness and love, and we respond with, we're going to go in there and do that Bible study, but we're going to do so in such a way that we are the best customers they've ever had. That says something to the world. They may still hate us, but it says something about the God that we serve.
Well, I forget, we've discussed it before about the passage. It says that Gentiles blaspheme God because of of the actions, and I apologize, my brain blanked out. Is that in Romans, or is that
one of the epistles? I'm scratching my head. Hold on, let me look it up real quick.
And it also speaks about, responding in kindness to your enemies, because that's like dumping a bucket of coals over their head. And Jesus said that, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. There's ample examples in the Bible about how to respond to those that mistreat you. Okay. And that applies to whether they're mistreating you because you're a Christian, or if they're just mistreating you because they're a jerk, or if they're putting you down for any other reason. I mean, sadly, within the United States today, Christians have not yet experienced true persecution. We're experiencing at times maybe an inconvenience or, words that might offend us. But I think it goes back to something that you and I said a couple of shows ago. Before you get on social media and start responding to some of this stuff, you need to check your motivations at your keyboard, because you need to exercise restraint and think about your response and think about what you're posting out there and what you're doing before you do it. I don't always do that. Sometimes I fail just like everyone else. Sometimes I'll get caught up in a moment and may say or post something that's a little bit derogatory about something or someone else, or potentially, not necessarily making fun of someone, or, maybe making a light joke out of some things. But, I need to do it more myself, but we need to check our motivations and exercise some self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is self-control, and do it in, when we do respond, try to be as polite and kind as we can. But ultimately, any interaction on social media on these issues, we need to be pointing people back to the cross and sharing the gospel with them more than anything else.
Absolutely. And to answer your question, Richie, Romans 2:24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, even as it is written. So, yes, when we act like the world and we haven't checked those motivations, like you're saying, Rich, we're giving the world reason to blaspheme God. Now, are we responsible for their sin? No, but we are responsible for our actions. And when we act in that manner and we haven't checked our motivations and we're responding like the world, that's a sin we have to deal with. Rich, to kind of to wrap this up, because we're just about out of time here, there was one last verse that I wanted to share and maybe encapsulate what I think maybe we can do to how we can address these issues. Psalm 101:3 says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. And in King James, it's, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. When we look at the entertainment industry, Rich, I mean, how we've all kind of pointed out what a big surprise about all the sex scandals that have come to light, saying it sarcastically. When we look at this, you know, the entertainment industry, it produces the most vile and the most depraved and the most immoral stuff out there. And it's set out as entertainment. And there are even professing Christians who say it's okay to watch it because it's just fiction. It's not real. Which then I have a problem with where your mind is if you think that's okay to put before your eyes. But Rich, if entertainment is so valuable to us as Christians that we would not only try to defend a program because it should stay on the air because you've been hypocritical about these other programs, but also stand in solidarity with a person who is vile and crass, then I think that says something about where our eyes are set. That it is set on us, on an entertainment system that we're so intent on holding on to that it has corrupted our thinking. Maybe, and this will probably get me in trouble with some folks, but maybe what we need to do is be less concerned about giving the entertainment industry a black eye by exposing their hypocrisy, because it's always been there. Nobody's surprised by it. Maybe what we need to do is unplug and spend more time on the things that are above and commit to our minds and our hearts and our eyes things that glorify God, things that glorify Him and His work and His will in our life. Nobody's saying that, you know, Rich, I know you and I would not say you cannot go to the movies or you can't watch a television program. Nobody's saying that. But maybe we need to unplug and back away a bit and not set our eyes on a wicked system that is intent on being and remaining godless. Because if our expectation is, if I expose your hypocrisy now, you'll change. They're not going to. We need to get this through our heads. This system is, you know, it will drive itself into the ground before it admits it's wrong. The entertainment industry will let itself burn before it admits that it is doing anything wrong. It will continue to mock God, mock Christians. It will continue to be haters of anything that remotely seems godly. In the slightest of ways, it will continue to do this because it is a godless system. And if we are expecting, if we are expecting them to return to what the Ozzy and Harriet days, just because, hey, as I'm a Christian, I'm offended by the way you speak to me and you're a hypocrite for shutting that program down. If we expect that's going to be effective, we are fools. I can't put it any other way. Rich, we are foolish. If we expect it, that if we just call them out as hypocrites, they're going to change. It's absolutely not going to happen. The only thing that can change that system is that the people inside of it get saved. That's the only thing that's going to change it, right?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we forget we actually have sanctified remote controls. There's a little red button there called off.
Yep.
All you got to do is turn it off, turn the channel, and... You know, the only thing that Hollywood pays attention to, the only thing they truly, truly care about is their profits.
Yep.
I mean, they've got their multi-million dollar homes and their, you know, $200,000 cars and all that kind of stuff and their parties and everything else. And honestly, that's what they care about.
Yep.
And politics maybe be being second, within a lot of them. But to kind of expand and close out on what you were saying, use this as your gauge. You know, what you read from the Psalms about let no wicked thing be before my eyes. Before you jump on a bandwagon, you know, like I support or I stand with Roseanne, you need to ask yourself, I'm a Christian. That means I'm supposed to be in the light. This person's unsaved. That means they're in the darkness. Are you embracing darkness in your life? Are you embracing the darkness of Satan in the things that you partake in? Because I know that the verse that says, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever, mostly applies to marriage. But guess what? It also applies to every spiritual endeavor that there is. And what you feed into your eyes will be reflected into your heart. So in a roundabout way, what you support is a spiritual endeavor, or it can be, depending on how you respond and act to a given situation.
Exactly. So again, what we're hoping the takeaway is from this is it's not to bash on people who have rightly recognized that the entertainment industry is absolutely unashamedly hypocritical. We all recognize it. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't. If they don't, they're literally blind. But it's to get as Christians to us to think biblically about how we deal with these situations. That's what we're calling on, because it's concerning, at least to me, and I know some of you who listen to this, I think you see it too, that we are so quick, and I know social media has a way of causing that to happen. It's that rapid fire, you know, somebody says something, I need to respond, that person responds, and a conversation starts, and I know it can hype things up. But we need to stop and be reflective and look through things through a biblical lens before we shoot our mouths off. And if we can't control that, pardon me, if we cannot control that, if we really believe that what we have to do is expose that hypocrisy and somehow that's going to cause change, we are fooling ourselves. And we are setting our minds not on the things above. We need to look at that industry and go, these are godless people who desperately need Jesus Christ. And we need to be praying for them. And if God gives us opportunity to speak into their lives, we need to be sharing the gospel with them. We need to look at the entertainment industry as a mission field. And we need to see what it is. It's a tool being used by the enemy to inculcate and brainwash an entire generation to hate God. It's what it's doing. And it's effective because we all have our noses plugged in it. So I would argue, Rich, I think you agree with me, we should be less concerned that Hollywood cancels shows like Last Man Standing and Roseanne because they had conservative leanings. We should be more concerned that the Hollywood industry, entertainment industry, the news media industry, are being so blatant about their sin that they no longer care to even try to hide it. That's how bad it's gotten there. This is Romans 1 in full effect. God is giving this nation over to a depraved mind, and it is being evidenced by what we see in this industry. So when you see something like this, is it annoying? Darn right. It absolutely is. But then what it should do is cause us to drop to our knees and pray for this nation and pray for the people in that industry, because they are dead in their sins. They are slaves to sin. And it should cause us to weep, not be angry. So that's what we hope that we've got jarred your thinking. And if you got upset with us, I'm sorry. Not trying to step on toes. I hope you did put your steel toe shoes on. not trying to step on your toes, but we recognize that this is a hot button topic sometimes, and trying to look at it through this lens can sometimes get people annoyed. We're not trying to be purposely be annoying, but we want you to stop and think biblically. That's what we've always hoped we've accomplished with this program, to get you to stop and think biblically before you respond. So we hope we've done that tonight. If we haven't, we apologize, but maybe take that and take where we messed up, push those to the side, and think about the nuggets that we're trying to get through to you. We hope that's what you can do. So, Rich, any last thoughts before we shut it down?
Well, I'll just say this, and if someone thinks that I'm talking about them, in other words, if you think I'm talking about you in particular, well, I probably am. Make it a point this week to spend twice as much time reading your Bible than you do watching some movie or television show or listening to some secular band or whatever. Mm-hmm. But make it a point this week to spend twice as much time reading your Bible than you do being entertained by a sinful, worldly, secular system that hates God.
Amen. Amen. Folks, thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. Hope your toes don't hurt too much. But we thank you for being with us this week. We look forward to spending more time with you next week if we haven't chased you all off. And we ask that you continue to pray for us, pray for the program. And we just lift this up to God. We pray that it's His work. We pray that it's glorified Him. So thank you for being with us this week. Whatever you do this week, do it for the glory of God. We'll talk to you next time. Good night. God bless. We'll see you then.